This is Ashlyn Dave, and this is the Running in the Center of the Universe podcast number 30. I believe I've gotten up to 30 episodes, but that's where I'm at. And this is the week of September 26th, 2008. And it is very windy today. It's mid-70s. I'm going on an afternoon run. It's about 4:30 in the afternoon. Just a gorgeous day. Just couldn't wait to get out here and run because the weather was so nice. And I'm having problems with my Garmin heart rate thing. I think it's loose or something. It keeps slipping down my chest, but I got a couple things to go over during my run today. I'm shooting for 6 today. It's my first run of the week. I had an excellent 16 miler over the weekend, and it really felt good. Made it the whole way. I ran with actually started at 6 in the morning on Sunday and ran with my friend Alan. Met up with Tom, Dennis, and then Brian joined us later. And it was kind of a weird thing because Alan and I run the same pace. So we ran, I think, the first 11 together while Tom and Dennis ran ahead. I met up with Brian at 8 o'clock after Alan had finished the distance he was doing. So I ran with Brian for a couple miles, and we met up with Tom, who was running around the town looking for us because Dennis wasn't doing a full 20. Tom was doing a full 20. So by the time I met up with Tom, he was over 15 miles and I was at 13, but we'd been running the same amount of time. So it was kind of a weird crisscrossing of the universes, I guess. But he got his 20 and I got my 16. And I was a little concerned at first when I first started out Sunday morning because it was pitch dark. And we had a street party in town, which is kind of like a block party or a neighborhood party. But it's they close off this big plaza behind our town library and bring in the beer trucks and the bouncy stuff for kids, and you can kind of write the rest there. But I was very disciplined. I was home by 9 o'clock, and this allowed me to get up at a dark o'clock and get that run in, which was good. So I got a 16 miler under my belt, which gives me a lot of confidence going into the 18 miler coming up this weekend. But I'm not really sure how I'm going to get the 18 in because I haven't really made plans to run with anybody, and there is a half marathon in Richmond, which most distance people are probably running. So if I was to sign up for that, it's kind of a half trail, half road type of event. I still have to get in another 5. So I haven't really figured that one out yet. I got some time since I do this podcast a little ahead of myself. So anyhow, man, it's a nice day. Well, we had a great 5K race this past weekend. It was on Saturday morning. Called a Tiger Trot. And your podcast host here had the honor of leading the race on my bike. And we also had a police car in the front, but part of the course is on a path that a police car can't go on. So I got to lead it, and I did the same thing last year where I didn't get enough head start at the beginning, and the lead runners almost caught me before I was able to get my bike geared properly. This year I didn't have that problem. But the lead guy, he was at the 1 mile mark at about 5 minutes. I mean, he was really going fast. And anyway, I got a couple funny stories to share. I knew some funny stuff would happen. And I'll probably float between the stories. God, it's windy. I'll probably float between the stories because they're kind of funny. And then the last one is about a kid that's got a lot of heart and had nothing to do with running, but I'll share it anyway. All right, so everybody's running, and I didn't really get to see, but it was two kids races. It was actually three races for the whole event. A half-mile kids race, and then a one-mile kids race, and then the 5K. And my daughter ran in the half-mile with my dad, and she did great. I don't know what her finishing time was, because I was busy going over the route for the mile to make sure I had it right. I didn't even see her come in. I don't know what her time was, but my dad says she'd probably be ready for she'd probably run a whole mile. So we'll probably encourage her to do that the next time. Anyway, so after the two kids races, we got ready for the 5K, and the guy that won, Joshua something, he got out there fast, and by I think the half mile mark, he had a comfortable lead of probably about 100 yards or more. And when we got to the finish, the finish was in the bus loop at the school, like a lot of 5K races are, that start and finish near schools. That way you can control the finish. You know, people are looking at me while I'm talking to myself. Anyway, the lead police car pulled into the bus loop, and not knowing that the finishing chute blocked off the exit of the bus loop. And the reason it was so funny, well, I guess it wasn't really funny. It's funny now, but it wasn't funny at the time. It's because he kind of blocked the lead runner. I had gotten out of the way. The lead runner knew to come in the loop. So I got out of the way. And once he realized he couldn't go any further, the police officer, he kind of just stopped his car in it. And by then he had slowed down enough where the lead runner had kind of gotten up on the trunk. So he had to run around the car instead of kind of cutting the curve, you know, slicing it for the shortest distance. And then, believe it or not, a little kid ran right in front of the police car. It was kind of like a little confusion. And then the police officer had to figure out a way to back out without hitting any runners. So I guess that's a note to self, is to make sure the police car doesn't go in a finishing chute. I don't think he knew, so it's not really his fault. But I guess that was a funny story, because it was a lot of confusion. Well, the lead female that came in, she was 20 minutes and some change, very fast. And she's probably 6 feet tall. And she was chugging up around the bus loop to the finish. And when she got to the finishing chute, my wife was one of the timers, you know, pulling we didn't have chips or anything, not that sophisticated, pulling the little tabs off the bibs. The lady just collapsed on her. My wife's about 5 feet tall. And she's like, "Hold me up!" I'm saying, this lady's huge. How am I supposed to hold her up and keep getting people's bibs in? But apparently some other people saw that and commented later about how funny it was that this large, tall woman just kind of collapsed on a smaller lady and was telling her to hold her up. So that was kind of funny. And let's see, the third story. I can't remember the third story. Let me think about that a sec. All right, I've got it now. I remembered. started running and I forgot all my bullet points. What we had, since it was kind of a community race, a lot of kids were running with their parents after they had run the earlier event, like the mile or half mile, and the kids weren't finishing the whole 5K, they were finishing just the end. And the only thing that was timed officially was the 5K. The earlier events just had the, I think the gender winners, and I don't know, they did a bunch of streamers at the end, and you know, so everybody can feel like a winner, stuff like that. But the adult race, not sure if there was an age cutoff or not, but that was a little more official. But what had happened, and well, let me back up a bit. If you've never done timing on a race that's not CHIP, you have someone at the finish line that hits a trigger on a small machine, and it counts the time and that someone in the place. It doesn't have any number associated with it. And then you have people in the finishing chute who are keeping everybody in order. And theoretically, that should match up with everything. That's a lot of wind. I'm going to go back this way. All right, I get a little disjointed because I saw a neighbor. He has a little puppy that's getting bigger and bigger. Just wanted to talk a minute. So you got the person at the finish line, hits a little trigger mechanism, which records the time, records the place, and then you have the people in the finishing chute that are doing the placing with the bib numbers. Theoretically, it should all match up. Well, what happened were a couple things. One, you had a horde of people that were not registered for the 5K that ran across the finish line. Kids that were finishing the race with their parent or whatnot. And as you can imagine, that throws the finishers out of whack. Now, they had similar bibs, and some of them looked like they could have been running the 5K. So our finisher was clicking the thing because it's too hard to differentiate, and you know, it's kind of hard to determine who's not a runner and who is. They all look the same. And then you know, one kid that actually crossed the finish line turned around and pulled his bib right off with the safety pins, started walking the opposite direction every time he went through the chute. So he was probably a first time runner. And then my wife told me later that guy came up to her and just handed her his balled up bib. So as you can imagine, the finishing order took quite some time to get together. And unfortunately, some people had left before the finish, the winners were announced. Although my friend Shelly got first in her age group and my dad got first in his age group. And I think they might have been the only ones in their age group. But nonetheless, they came in first. Both had great finishing times. 26 minutes, I think. Well, that's pretty good. So, you know, it was only the second year we put the race together. Everybody had a lot of fun. 192 people registered. I think it was 140 last year. So there was... And I can't remember how many finishes there were. I mean, there was a couple no-shows as usual, but it was a great event. The weather was absolutely perfect. And, you know, there's a lot of people, a lot of teachers came out. Daughter's teacher came out. Daughter's past two teachers came out. I just had a great time. And I was honored to be the lead cyclist, I guess. I had very minimal work to do. And I still got a volunteer t-shirt. So that's the report from the Tiger Trot 5K. A great event. And I did notice that some people came from out of town. Tim from my half marathon training team came up from Northside Richmond. And he actually won in his age group. But unfortunately, he left before the winners were announced because it took a while. So hopefully, I think Shelly was going to get his ribbon to him because they know each other from church. So that was pretty cool. So I actually knew a lot of the winners. And these small races, generally, if you run hard, you can probably place. I think Jody's talked about that before in her podcast. It was a great day. I could probably go on and on and on about it. I had so much fun, and it took us a while to break everything down, but it was a good time, real good time.
Well, I happened to run into one of my former training partners from a half marathon training team while I was out running. Her name is Dawn. So here's part of that conversation.
Can I run with you for a little bit?
Yeah, but I'm gonna slow you down.
That's all right. What you been doing?
Trying to keep running with the kids in school.
Turn this off.
It's hard to find time to run.
I know it.
With the kids and their schedule.
How far are you going today?
Just about 3 miles. I'm just going up Beverly and back.
Oh, that's great.
I'm missing part of Katie's tennis.
I'm doing part of my podcast for my internet show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, do you mind if I record some of our conversation?
No.
I think I had it on already.
Cool.
What do you, you got any races coming up?
Well, I want to try to do the half of
October. Which?
I'm just not sure.
Which one is?
The Blunt's Bridge one.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You're on the list.
Well, if I can get myself back up to it, I'm all over it. But I feel like miles-wise, I've lost some ground since August.
Did you do any training since the race?
It's been running.
What's your route? Just straight up?
Yeah, to Beverly.
Okay, I think you just told me that. I was half listening. Let me get my wires hanging.
3 miles is for me. So I don't know.
Well, it's hard to do that after work.
Yeah, especially with guitar lessons and taekwondo and tennis.
How do you get it all fit? How do you fit it all in?
I don't. I miss part of a tennis match to run.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it helps keep you sane. I mean,
definitely.
I've talked before about sometimes your running's got to become kind of selfish. I mean, it's kind of really the only thing I do away from my family. I mean,
me too.
I can't run with my daughter.
Well,
maybe so, you know, when
my kids don't want to.
Yeah, when she gets older, she'll maybe run with me.
Like a stressful day today. So just gets rid of all the.
Oh. Am I intruding on your solo time?
I saw you when I started. You were too far ahead to yell.
Oh, on Center Street?
Yeah, I'm like, I'll just tell him that I saw him.
Well, I saw you coming up by the school, and so I thought maybe she'll look over here, and then I thought, well, I'll just get behind her. Yeah. Well, at least it hadn't been so hot. This is perfect weather.
No, I love it. My friends at work trained me to do the November half of the first half.
Is that the one in Richmond?
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
It's funny now that I've done one. One of my girlfriends will come tell me.
How far she's
like,
run?
You're exactly wrong. I remember what I was thinking.
Oh, she comes and tells you how far she ran?
How far she ran and what she's thinking.
That's awesome, though.
How she thinks she's crazy.
Well,
I swear you won't.
A 3 mile run is good for recreation, but a 13.1 miler is a little crazy. I guess she hasn't done any double digits yet.
Not yet, he said. You're gonna love it. She goes, but right now I think I'm crazy. I don't know, I remember.
Yeah, but now you've done it. Now you've done it.
She's fat.
Did you take a little bit of a break after the race?
To the beach.
Oh, you drove that day. That's right. How was your vacation then?
It was awesome. I did run one time, which was great because it was a choice and not sure.
That's funny. Yeah, that training makes you, once you sign on, even though it's voluntary, you feel like you got to do it.
I was like, I got to run. And now I'm just trying to find time. And frankly, the most distance I've done is 6 miles.
Yeah, but that's still pretty good. That's what I'm going to try to do tonight.
It was great.
We'll see.
Saturday. How far are you now?
I'm at about 2.3, and I was on a 6 mile course, and I'm already trying to figure out how I'm going to shave off something to make up for coming down here.
Sorry.
No, because I don't want to walk back. So I told my wife I'd be home by 5:30. Well, that Blunt's Bridge half marathon challenge is going to be on some hills.
I know, that's why I'm not sure about just me being ready.
Well, it's 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, if you've done a 6 miler and if you put an 8 miler in there somewhere, you'll probably be all right.
An 8, yeah. Which is hard to do in an athlete. Seriously.
It is. You have to kind of.
That's what I'm talking about.
You kind of have to do some loops around the same stuff, and sometimes that's hard to do.
Yeah.
I found that running out Chapman
yeah.
all the way to the stop sign and then just turn around and coming back.
Yeah.
It's quite a bit, but it's still that out and back
yep.
mentality that I just cannot stand
it.
Yeah. And then sometimes you find yourself, you know, running on the same roads, but hey, it's the way it goes.
As long as you're doing. So anyway, that's what I've been doing.
Well, that's great.
Trying to keep running. How many people are signed up?
I think we have about 17.
That's cool.
And it's just kind of, you know, it's just an event, something to do. And that route is, it's kind of fun. It is an out and back route, but it doesn't look the same.
Plus hills.
Coming back, and it's got those hills that... You can either walk up them or, you know, it just gives a little bit of a different challenge, and it's kind of a pretty part of the county.
Yep.
Well, you're familiar with that way, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Way back.
A lot of people bike it, cycle on that road now.
Yeah. Here's a guy from work. I was running one night. Here comes the bike. He's like, hey! Like, hey! We didn't even know. We didn't even know we lived in the same area.
Oh, in the same area. Not a small world.
No.
This is really the only time I can get out here because my wife works out in the morning.
Right.
I've got an evening activity.
I wonder how
tonight.
Y'all did that with both of you running.
Well, I get in that mentality if it's a running day.
Right.
When I'm at work, I just know that, okay, I can't just kind of slug around in the afternoon.
Right.
Because I'm going to run when I get home and...
Well, what happened there was my digital recorder got full and it cut off without me knowing. So, Don, I didn't mean to cut you off. Thanks for helping me get through about a mile there. That was cool to run into you. Hopefully I'll run into you again and hope your training continues to go well. Hope to see you out there for the Blunt's Bridge Challenge, which is the Ashland version of the Worldwide Half Marathon. All right, let me go open up the shed that has all the email in it. It's a little full this week. Get this in here. Right, let me shake out everything here. All right, let's get started. All right, heard from Ari in New Jersey. Ari's training for his first marathon, which is the Marine Corps Marathon, which at the time of this taping is just 31 days away. So I guess that makes it late October. I think that's, hang on, what is that? I think it's October 26th, so... anyway, Ari's got a running blog going, which I'm going to put a link in the show notes. It's runanskyrun.blogspot.com. That's run, RUN ANSKY RUN. And his blog is a running blog, but it's also got some nutrition information. And I was just looking at it. It also has some stuff about the New York Yankees because they just played their last game at Yankee Stadium. But he's got some recipes on there. His wife is a professional dietitian, and he's actually kind of doing some analysis of what he's eating and maybe how it's going to benefit him during his taper before the marathon. So I think it's a great idea. I encourage you to check out his blog. He's been listening to the show for a while. And Ari, I really appreciate you sending me the email, and I wish you the best as you wind down your training for the Marine Corps Marathon. I'll definitely be looking up your time when you finish. And thanks for giving me the link to the blog. I'm happy to share that with everybody. So check out the show notes, everybody, if you want to check out his blog. I really encourage you to do that. So thanks for the email, Ari. I also heard from Rich in the Woodlands, Texas. Rich lives in the area of Texas that Ike came through, Hurricane Ike. And he was very fortunate that his home had only had minor leakage. They had several trees down. But he reported that a small tornado must have come through the area because the way the trees came down went from just ranged from minor to catastrophic. He thought that the western eye wall of the hurricane passed just to his east, and he was out power for 4 days. But believe it or not, he actually managed to get a 3 mile run in there somewhere during all that. I guess he got it. He did the run while he didn't have the power. I'd be going crazy if I was down there. He also said that it was very fortunate the weather changed. Otherwise, it would have just been awful down there with the heat. So, Rich, I hope that you're back with your regular training. I appreciate you asking about my plantar fasciitis, and seem to be doing okay with that. I just mainly a managing aspect at this point, try to get me through next May. But it's good to hear from you, and hope you keep listening to the show, and stay in touch. It was good to hear. It was nice to get your email. The next one is from Jody. Jody chimed in. I kind of solicited this email, as I did with one from Nigel that I'll talk about later. I have to say that some of these emails were solicited. I was just checking in on people. Jody's still training for her marathon. She is getting up in the double-digit mileage, and she's still running in the heat. You can listen to her podcast to get all her updates, but she did share some stuff with me that she got. It was so hot at 2 in the afternoon. It was over 80 degrees still at 2 p.m., and she was doing a 15-miler and kind of got the chills a little bit, even though it was hot and humid. Probably a sign that some overheating and whatnot, and she was able to recognize that. But it's definitely your body changes when you get to those double digits, which she found out, and but sounds like she managed it pretty good, and hopefully with those longer runs, Jody, you'll continue to do really well and do great in your marathon. So I appreciate you sending the email and staying in touch. The next one is from Shelly. Shelly just checked in, said she enjoyed listening to the podcast. She did a 9 miler by herself the other day. I talked a little bit about her during the regular part of the show. I'm still trying to get in a training run with Shelly. She said that she can't do 20, but she can do 10 with me. So, Shelly, I'm definitely going to take you up on that. And I just, for some reason, just got to make the date. So, let's get some emails going back and forth and figure out a good day to get our running going. This is a solicited email I got from Nigel. Nigel said he took my show along with him when he did his Sunday long run, and it was the one where I was doing the 14-miler. He said that it sounded like I faded a bit. Well, you're definitely right. That was a tough training run for what I think that was one I did by myself. And yeah, I definitely was fading out, but I did pick it up towards the end. Nigel just commented on how he doesn't know how I find the time to train, because I had shared with him some of the distances I'm going to be doing going into the spring of next year. And the reason I wanted to mention your email, Nigel, is because I actually have to literally force the time. I kind of have a monopoly on the afternoon activities, and Saturday mornings are kind of I have a monopoly on that in my family, and that's just when I do it. I do it when I get home from work. My wife works out in the morning, so I don't run in the morning during the week at all, or if I did want to, I'd have to clear it with her well ahead of time so she would, you know, arrange her schedule to get her spinning class in or doing her own run. So I literally have to force the time, and it's only going to get a little more overwhelming as time goes on when I get beyond the marathon distance if I stay healthy enough to run the ultra. So that's my take on that, and Nigel, I appreciate you listening. You've been a good friend, and I still enjoy listening to your show. And for any of you that don't know about Nigel's show, it's Running from the Reaper podcast, and you can find it at runningpodcast.org. Some of the comments on the website were really good, and I heard from some new people. One was from my dad. He was just thanking everybody that put the Tiger Trot together because he had a real good time. He liked the kids' races. He ran with my daughter during the half mile. Isn't that right? Didn't Grandpa run with you?
Yeah.
All right. And did you have a good time during the Tiger Trot?
Yeah.
So anyway, he says, keep up the good work, and he looks forward to the third annual race next year. So, Dad, appreciate you checking by and listening to the show. Gordon from Scotland left an interesting post on the website. Gordon had sent me a message sometime back saying how I don't think he could watch the YouTube video that I made of, I guess it was the Patrick Henry race. He couldn't watch that on his iPod because of the format, and he had asked for them to be in regular, QuickTime. And I can't remember what I said to him. I replied that it took up too much space, and I had to pay more money on the server to keep my files on there. And he sent me a lengthy apology. And Gordon, I appreciate that, but it really wasn't necessary. Everything's going to cost a little bit of money. I mean, you got to pay electricity to power up your computer. You got to buy batteries for your digital recorder. You got to buy a microphone if you want to do that. You know, I just pay a little extra so I can keep more shows on the podbean.com site. I do appreciate your policy. I mean, your apology. And you were very gracious. And no problem at all, man. I'm going to definitely put up some more videos. I might have to do the YouTube format again. It's just much lower quality, but I think I figured out a way to get a little bit more stuff on there. Now, some of these movies are, you know, 80 megs. I mean, that takes a long time to upload, and I don't have dial-up, obviously, but we don't have the fastest internet. So anyway, that's Gordon from Scotland. I'm glad you're still listening. No problem at all. No worries whatsoever. I'm just glad you listened to the show and took the time to send in a comment. So hope you keep listening. Tom Grant left a comment on the site. His was about the Garmin 405, and he says that his becomes possessed when he sweats a lot. The screen starts switching at random, but he figured out a way to solve that problem. He pushes the two right side buttons at the same time, and it locks the screen. And the reason he put that on there, because he wasn't sure if anyone else had that problem. But you can still work the buttons. I am not familiar with the 405. I know it has some kind of feature where you can kind of scroll the screen around. I didn't even know it had buttons on it. But if for some reason that is happening to your 405, if you're rich enough to buy one, try that out, and maybe that'll help. So, Tom, thanks for sharing that, and I really do appreciate you listening to the show. I got another comment on the site from Kim, Running Mom, and she's just had thanked me for continuing the podcast. And she's working on a half marathon training plan of two runs during the week and then an increasing long run on the weekend. But she's having a problem with her long runs not adding up like she would want, mainly due to the heat. She had done an 8-miler that actually turned into just a 5.68-miler, which she said wasn't too bad for 95 degrees at noon. And Running Mom, I believe it or not, you probably put forth an 8-mile effort for that 5.68 miles if you were running in 95 degrees. Your body was putting forth extremely high amount of energy to try to keep your body cool. And if you can run that far in 95 degrees in the middle of the day, you're going to be able to run 8 miles in 75 or 80 degrees probably pretty easily. So she also said that she's doing a half marathon plan. I don't know when her half marathon is, but she does most of her runs with a friend of hers named Tisa, and she suggested that I get a partner for my really long run. So, yes, I have done that, and it is it's just imperative to have someone at least come in and run with you for part of your long run. So I've actually arranged that for this coming weekend, too. I'm going to do a half marathon, and then I'm going to do another 5 miles after that with two people I'm running the half marathon with. That's the main one I have. I'll put a link on the show notes. So good luck, Running Mom, Kim, and keep in touch. Sounds like you're making it okay. I've got a new listener this week. Dan Crew sent me an email, and he said he's been listening to the show, enjoying the podcast, and he kind of got hooked on episode number 11 when I talked about losing my running buddy, which was my 10-year-old dog named Otis. Dan's been running with his family dog for about 5 years now, and that dog has been a great motivator for him, and he's worked up to some very long runs, two actually being 20 miles this past spring. So that's pretty far, and I think there's another guy named Ultra Dad that runs with his dog, and he's run 20 to 20 plus miles with his dog. I mean, that's just an unbelievable amount of distance for a dog to run too. But he also talked about running safely in the dark, because he knew I was getting ready for the 24-hour endurance event, which is with a team. I'm not running that all by myself. Dan said he does most of his runs in the early morning out in Iowa, and they're very dark, and it's very dark in the morning. He uses a Miner-style headlamp, which he's been using for a couple years now. And it's LED lights, and it uses AAA batteries, and it's very lightweight and provides ample light for running out in the dark. So he suggested that I try that and mentioned a company called, I think it's called Petzl Headlamps, P-E-T-Z-L Headlamps, and sent me the link. And I checked out the link. It didn't have the prices on them, but they looked like they were pretty simple and kind of had some kind of cool-looking headbands. So I'm probably going to definitely check that out. And actually, last night, funny that you mentioned that, Dan, last night I met with the people I'm going to be doing the relay with, and we were talking about headlamps, and everybody just decided to supply their own light. And I suggested that everybody have at least an alternative light source in case for some reason they fall down and the headlamp doesn't work or it breaks or you got to change out the batteries, which you can't do in the pitch black, and then you just have to wait for somebody to come up behind you and follow them in, but you still won't be able to see as much. So I'm bringing a headlamp, and I guess I'll have to order one here shortly. So Dan, appreciate the input, and thanks for listening to the show. Appreciate it very much, and I'm glad you took the time to leave the comment. All right, and the last one is from Carrie. Carrie says she's been listening to the show for a while, really enjoys the show, so thank you very much. And she knew exactly what I meant when I was talking about possibly biting off more than I can chew with my running plan. Carrie said that she is doing the Cool Running Advanced Half Marathon plan, and it was just way too much for her. She wound up with tendonitis and actually had to pull out of the race, which is a real shame. But she had some good ideas about the bib number and changing shirts, which I had mentioned in a previous show. She says she has a solution, and her solution is to get a race belt, which is just a strip of elastic like the heart rate monitor, and has a couple snaps that hold the bib on. And then it just clicks on over your waist. She said that the triathletes use them so they don't get holes in their expensive swimsuits or other skin-tight attire. And she wears one. And, you know, Carrie, thanks for mentioning that, because you know what? It might be time that I did something like that, because I have got a favorite shirt that I've run in each of my marathons. And it's a nice shirt. It's orange. I just like it. It's orange. That way my family members and friends can find me. And it's starting to get some wear just from repeated wearing and washing, not from all these, you know, races I've done, where the pins go in. So, and the shirt, you know, will last a while, but I don't want it to have holes in it. So it might not be such a bad idea. I'll have to check those out. So, I agree with you. It's definitely much nicer than having to deal with the safety pins and figuring out how to get your shirt, the bib centered on your shirt and all that crazy stuff. So, Carrie, thanks for the comment. I appreciate you listening. And as I do with everybody that sent in comments or emails, it means a lot. I really enjoy doing the podcast. I like sharing my distance running with other people, and it's really neat when other people, you know, send me information or comment or send an email about what they're up to. And even though I never met any of these people, it's I kind of know, you know, what you're going through and vice versa. So if you haven't sent me anything and you feel like you want to, you can send it to ashlanddave@gmail.com. That's ashlanddave@gmail.com. I'll be happy to read anything that you send in. So I usually like positive comments. I'm not too into negative stuff. I try to keep the podcast very positive. And if you send me something, I'll be happy to go over it during the show and share your thoughts with other people. I've got an episode scheduled for next week. I will have episode 31 out next week. And I've been putting a lot of thought into a special marathon episode, which I'm going to do before my marathon, my first marathon this fall. The first one for this fall. I'm trying to do two this fall. So I'm going to have a special marathon based podcast coming up probably in a couple weeks. I'm going to target maybe late October, maybe the week before I run the Outer Banks Marathon, which is November 9th. And I'm kind of compiling some information now, basically just repackaging other people's stuff for inspiration. But I've actually I'm interested in this whole idea of why people, you know, want to run long distances. I mean, when you really only need to work out for about an hour, half hour a day, to get the physical benefit. But I'm interested in this idea, this perspective in life of running these distances that take you several hours. I mean, I'm one of those people, and I can't really say why I do it. So, I mean, I can go and ramble on and on and on about it. I can't just say it in one sentence. So that's what that podcast is going to be about, and I'm going to share what some other people have said and stuff I've read. So hopefully that'll be a good show. And that'll be coming up in a few weeks, so hopefully maybe you'll listen to that. Okay, well, that's it for me this week. This is Ashland Dave, and I'm coming at you from the center of the universe, Ashland, Virginia. Thank you so much for listening. Y'all have a good week, and remember to run to the finish line and keep on running.
Think global.
Think global.
Think global.
From Jerusalem to Japan, from Australia to
and
Oslo,
Ashland, Virginia.
All over the world at the very same time, someone will be running with you.
In Spittle in the Street, Lincoln, England.
In Knoxville, Tennessee.
In Scotland.
Join a global community of runners and participate in this free, non-commercial, worldwide event that celebrates the joy of running with the challenge of a road race.
Run local.
Run local.
Run local.
Share your local experience with a global audience of friends and fellow runners in the Fitbit Nation's worldwide half marathon and kick the couch 5K road race. It's the Fitbit Nation's worldwide half marathon. To learn more, go to worldwidehalf.com. Think global, run local.